Good evening, Matt. Welcome to the Space Show.
My pleasure to be here.
We've already discussed the importance of the landing site in terms of the variety of rocks there. What sort of rocks did you end up finding?
Well, that's actually a bit of a controversial topic because we had hoped to be able to identify rocks fairly well, and it's actually very difficult to do with simply the chemical analysis measurements, which give you the abundance of particular elements and the close-up imaging. That's not an ideal way to identify rocks. Typically, the way you identify rocks is by looking at what minerals are in the rock, and from that you can generally define it. And so basically most of the chemical analysis measurements show rocks completely unlike what we expected. They were very high in silica and relatively low in iron and magnesium. And the reason that was a surprise is that we have 12 or 13 extraordinary rocks that we're quite confident come from Mars, and these rocks are the opposite. They're high in magnesium and iron and relatively low in silica. So we expected a basalt. That's that kind of rock, and we didn't find it. That's for sure.
These rocks are, of course, the meteorites that have come from Mars.
Yes, the so-called SNC meteorites that we're quite confident have come from Mars, yes.
But you did find a wide variety of rocks.
The chemical analyses were all consistent with a high silica rock that, if they're volcanic, would have been an andesite, a highly differentiated volcanic rock. And there's some ancillary information to suggest that, in fact, there are volcanic rocks there. We see vesiculated surfaces, little holes where air bubbles, gas bubbles would have been trapped during the cooling of the lavas, and thus it's consistent with that interpretation. The other close-up imaging data, and we had much more close-up imaging than we did chemical analyses, suggested that other rock types might be present as well. Some of the rocks have what look like fine-grained layering of millimeters to centimeters in thickness that look like they actually go through the rock. Other rocks actually look like things on the Earth that we would call conglomerates. And conglomerates are very coarse-grained sedimentary rock that forms when liquid water rounds pebbles and cobbles in a stream and then deposits them in a sand and clay matrix, and it's buried and lithified before coming back up. And that discovery, if that is a correct interpretation, is quite important because it pretty well demands that liquid water was stable and rolling across the surface for significant periods of time at some point in Mars's history. And thus it suggests that Mars could have been a place, liquid water being the key, of course, for life, that liquid water was stable. Maybe life could have gotten a start on Mars.
Which raises the question, of course, where did the water go?
Yeah, where did the water go and what happened to it? And that's, we don't know the answer. We believe from the estimates of the amount of water required to carve the catastrophic outflow channel, including Ars Vallis that we landed near, that Mars could have an equivalent global ocean of water of hundreds of meters to even kilometers thickness. Mars is likely a very water-rich planet. But, of course, water is not stable anywhere on the surface now. It's all either a gas or a solid. And so where is it? And one possibility is that you've locked up significant quantities of water as ground ice. It's frozen beneath the surface. The North Polar Cap has ice. We know that. You could have put some water into as water hydration and chemical weathering products as the clays, the red dust that you see on the surface. And you could have lost some water to space. You can imagine water vapor in the atmosphere being disassociated by UV radiation and the hydrogen being stripped away and lost.
Did you find any metamorphic rocks?
Yes, in a sense. I think there's some imaging results that to me are very suggestive of breccias, which are rocks that are likely, in this case, in place during a impact event in which large jumbles of rocks are shattered and broken and sort of re-accreted as they fall back into the crater. And some of the rocks, to me, look very much like a breccias.
So that's metamorphism by impact rather than by volcanism.
Yes, or by heat or pressure, that's correct, yes.
There's obviously erosion going on, lots of wind there blowing dust around and so on. Is that dust accumulating anywhere and is it sedimenting and perhaps forming sedimentary rock?
It's possible. It actually appears from other information on Mars that Mars likely has areas that provide the dust for the dust cycle and other areas where it predominantly falls down and gets trapped. And Pathfinder did not land in one of those. In fact, those would be potentially very dangerous places to land because very light atmospherically deposited dust has a very low bearing strength. So your rover would actually sink in it, your lander could sink in it. It doesn't have very good radar reflective properties for landing in, not a good place to go. So we believe we have a place that actually over the long term has been an area that's been exhumed. We've actually lost sediment from this area, likely by Aeolian wind processes. On contrast, however, many of the surfaces of the rocks look like they're dust covered by dust that's fallen out of the atmosphere, so at least some has. And in addition, the solar panels on the lander and the rover accumulated a fraction of a percent a day of obscuration due to atmospheric dust that fell on them. So there definitely was some dust fallout from the atmosphere.
You've mentioned doing chemical analyses. Most people, their vision of chemistry is sticking a rock in a test tube, shoving some acid on it, and seeing what happens. You obviously didn't do that on Mars.
Yes, we had an instrument called an alpha proton X-ray spectrometer that uses a small curium source to bombard the sample with alpha and proton particles, and then it measures the response of the sample to these bombarding particles, measures those particles coming back, and also sets up characteristic X-rays. And the alpha works through the low atomic number, the proton mode works for the middle, and then the X-ray picks up all the big ones. So you can measure the complete elemental composition of all elements down to a fraction of a percent, except hydrogen and helium, which are too small to see.
What were the main differences between Earth rocks and Martian rocks? I mean, if I was holding one in my hand, is there anything obvious?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've collected and returned huge volumes of rocks from the moon, and, you know, rocks are rocks. Rocks are composed of dominantly silicate materials that combined in stable manners, and that's the way they form. So yeah, if you weren't trained, you probably couldn't tell the difference. It'd be very hard.
I often, if I'm standing out in the central of Australia where it's all red soils and so on, I think, well, take away the plants and we could be on Mars.
Yeah, actually, when I was on the top of Ayers Rock and looked out, to me that was the closest color analog I've ever seen anywhere. And actually, the reason is pretty much the same. You've had a surface. Australia is a unique continent area in that it's been stable. Nothing has happened to it in 100 million years, and that's very unusual indeed. Usually there's some sedimentation process or erosion process, but this surface has just been sitting there. And so all these weathering products have developed, and they're dominantly clay minerals with iron oxide, oxidizing iron, hematite, and other weathering products that form on them and give it the red color, and it just collects, and there's no way to get rid of it. So Central Australia, color-wise, is about as close as anywhere I've seen to the actual color on Mars.
So, just suppose we could go down to Mars, in the area where Pathfinder landed and looked out. Would you like to describe the scene to us?
Yeah, it'd be kind of a yellowish brown, kind of with a slight red tinge, I guess. It's actually with the actual color charts. It's not really red as much as it is yellowish brown. The atmosphere would be a light yellowish brown, maybe a butterscotch or something like that. Butternut, maybe, that kind of color. You'd see pretty much a dusty surface with 20% rocks, these darker objects poking out that are pretty much angular and just sort of strewn around the field. you'd see corrugated ridge trough topography into the background. And way in the distance, you see these marvelous streamlined islands that had been eroded by the catastrophic flood. Really a rather compelling scene, I suspect.
And what about the sky?
Sky would be a light yellowish brown, not quite pink, but close. And it would pretty much look that way for most of the day. It was pretty constant opacity the entire time we were on the surface in this light yellowish brown color. Now, if you happen to wake up at 4 a.m., it's a little early, but not out of the question, and look towards the sunrise, you would see a whole suite of what look like water ice clouds, white wispy clouds that in some cases were actually thick enough to give blue tinges. And we believe those are water ice that freezes around the dust particles in the dead of night and then sublimes away by sort of mid-morning.
On Earth, of course, we look towards the dawn, we see the lightning sky. A similar effect on Mars?
Even more so, because there's so much particulate matter in the atmosphere. So actually the whole sky would redden as the sun starts coming up. And the diffusion near the sunrise and sunset is much more elevated on Mars than it is here on Earth.